Don't you just love those type of stories? You know, when people are, you know, going to be broken or they're just completely hopeless, and all of a sudden help comes from somewhere they might not even expect, like watching those old westerns, right? Where people are, you know, surrounded by the bad guys and they're just like, you know, they're done for, and all of a sudden here comes the cavalry. And, boop, 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 and those horses charging, and they're going, "Oh, we're safe," and like that. That's a wonderful story. It's you know, the Bible is full of these, actually. And really, what it's called is called the deliverance of God. You know, He delivers His people. He's promised that time and time again. And not only has He promised that, but He's shown that throughout the history of the Bible. From the days of Noah, right? Rescuing the family there and then coming into the times of Abraham and watching over him and rescuing him and Lot, his nephew from a very bad situation. And then it comes to Moses, you know, and delivering the people, as we've been studying in Exodus, delivering the people out of the furnace and the oppression of Egypt. And it just continues. The storyline of God's deliverance continues throughout the Bible from Genesis 3 all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. His salvation is there for His people. And that's the way He works. It's a wonderful thing. It looks, a lot of times we're desperate, we're hopeless, and then by God's grace, He comes into our lives in a way that only He can. And we don't even know where it's coming from because we're not seeking. There's no one who seeks God. No one does. He seeks us, and He gives us this free gift. And somehow, by His grace, again, that gift of faith is given to us by His grace alone. And it's just so wonderful, saving us from such a bad situation, really, a situation of no hope, really, and just no victory at all. There's no way we can get out of it. And today, as we look into the chapter that Steve just read there in 1 Samuel 11, we're going to be looking at this again. We can, you know, we'll learn some things from it as well. I mean, as we'll look at a little bit of context, remember, Israel's at a time point they've been asking for a king. You know, and in that, really, as Samuel told them, he says, "But you have now rejected your God who saves you out of all your disasters and calamities." So they rejected God as their king, the one who has shown Himself faithful to them time and time again. Don't forget, this is just, they're still in the ages, just coming out of the age of the judges where, you know, you saw this happening, right? And going back in their history, they've seen God deliver His people time and time again, and yet they want somebody like them so they can touch that person, they can see that person, and so they're rejecting God and His kingship, and they want a human being instead. And there's a warning in that, as you see, if you looked at Psalm 146, it says this: "Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing." So there's a stiff warning about when we're starting to rely upon people, and they want this king so this king can go before them and fight their battles and unite them so they can continue to resist and even overcome their enemies who surround them. Understandable. That's very human, isn't it? It's very human. It's kind of hard to go on and, you know, you talk about God. And in the days of Exodus, they saw the pillar of cloud and fire, but then that's not around anymore. And, you know, God would manifest Himself through certain people like a Gideon or a Samson or Jephthah or some, you know, like that, you know, to help the people out. And now Samuel, but they don't, they just can't touch Him, you know. They just can't see Him. And actually, He's kind of a scary God because, you know, He's very powerful. When His voice goes forth, you know, they tremble before it. And so you can understand why they're looking for somebody just like them. And interesting, because at the end of chapter 10, there was a question asked, and I think it might have been, I don't know, might have been kind of facetious, kind of, you know, maybe, mocking or whatever, but it says, how can this fellow save us, when they saw Saul? And they, Saul was appointed to be king, and these guys were going, well, how can this fellow save us? Well, actually, we're going to be looking at that a little bit closer today, and we'll actually probably learn some things ourselves from finding these answers. A little bit of background, as Steve read, did you notice that Nahash, this Ammonite king, was coming to besiege this city of Jabesh-Gilead, I guess that's how you say it. And these people are Israelites, they're Jewish people. They're on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And Nahash, coincidentally, this name of Nahash means snake. Well, who does the snake represent in the Bible? Satan. Well, this guy is pretty terrible, as you can see. This guy is coming to intimidate. He wants the wealth of those people in Jabesh-Gilead. He wants to enslave them, right? He wants to overcome them, and he also wants to disgrace them and have full control over them. So that's what he's looking at. And the thing is, and these people, Jabesh, if you look at their history, I'm not going to go over it because we're kind of a little short on time, but if you want to go back to Judges 21 and look at verses 1 through 12, you get a little bit of a feel where these people from Jabesh are like. They heard a call when they were supposed to come and help the other Israelites, and they did not come. And so the Israelites, after they finished what they were doing with the Benjamites, actually, at that time, they came back and they destroyed their whole city. And only a few, I think just the women, virgin women, were left, so they can give them to the rest of these Benjamites who were the only ones left after these big wars going on amongst themselves, right? Amongst their own family, this is going on. And at that time, a concubine of this one guy, was killed by the Benjamites, and he cut her body up and sent it out to all the tribes, calling them together. Sounds pretty harsh, but you see something here too, don't you, going on. This is tough times, right? These people are serious. And to pull a country together, to pull a people out, and Israel's kind of scattered, and they kind of keep it to themselves a lot, to bring them together as a whole, you got to do something really drastic. And that's what we've seen here. So there's a lot going on. Well, this Nahash, he's going to attack the city, but then these people, the city of Jabesh, they said, well, hey, let's make a treaty. We'll make a treaty with you, and we'll surrender to you. And he says, yeah, that's good. But then he adds something. He says, yeah, but not only you're going to be surrendered to me, but I'm going to gouge out every eye, right eye, of your people, right? Okay, everybody close your right eye. Close it. Yeah, how's it feeling there? Yeah, are you going to go around? See, what do you think that happens to the archers and the swordsmen of Jabesh? Oh, you see, a lot of them were right-handed, right? Well, I can't see. Then they got to go left, and they're not going to be as accurate, right? So he knows what he's doing there. And not only is he putting disgrace on the people, but he's also incapacitating their warriors. Pretty good, pretty smart guy. And what's even more interesting is, he's accepting this treaty because he knows that this is going to be a big battle. It's probably a fairly big city with high walls, and it's going to take a lot of his resources, maybe kill a lot of his men involved and stuff too. So when people want to make a treaty and are giving you themselves up, well, you're going, all right, I'll take that. I'll take that anytime. So that's pretty smart. And then these elders of Jabesh, they were kind of wise. They said, hey, can we have 7 days, please, so we can go and ask if somebody will help us? And Nahash goes, your Israelite brothers? Nobody's united them. They're all scattered. They're not going to come together. Sure, go ahead if that makes you feel better, but I'm going to get you later. sooner or later, I'm going to get you. So that's where they're at. And then this news comes into Gibeah of Saul, where Saul lives, right? This the one they appointed king over Israel. And the people heard this news. And it's really bad news, isn't it? These people are in serious difficulty. And they're across the river, and it's kind of far away, and who knows about those guys? And those guys, who cares about what happened? It says here in the Word, they wept bitterly. They were weeping bitterly over the situation, weeping aloud when they heard this news. Yes, they should. They should. And then when Saul came, and here's the king coming off the field with his oxen. I guess he just still just doing his thing, right? Going in the fields, being his farmer, and until God had him do something, right? So he's just going there. He enters into the scene to hear this. And what we're going to see here is this, and that, remember that, going back to that question, how can this fellow save us? Well, I don't know. He's just coming in off the fields. He has no clue what's going on. But there's three statements we're going to go through here that will help us understand and get this answer. And I think it's going to also give us a good answer as well. So let's pray before we continue on. Lord God, thank you for your word and the time that we can spend together in it. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will move in a way that will just teach us, that will open our hearts and soften our hearts. Lord, that you will teach us anew. Lord, even remind us things that we probably used to know as well. Lord, that you will challenge and encourage us through your word, that your word will penetrate to the depths of our very souls, Lord, to draw us closer to you. And if there's anything in there that we need to confess before you, I pray that we can do that as well. So thank you, Lord, for this time. Bless this word. May your name be glorified in it. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So we continue on here. So when Saul hears the message, something strange really happens here, right? It says then he comes up, he hears people weeping and says, Well, why are they weeping there? And they repeated to him what the men of Jabesh said to him. And then verse 6 it says, when Saul heard the words, what happened? The power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him. Now that they have seen that before, right? Like the days of Gideon and even for Samuel, Lord, how God has empowered him and blessed him and helped him lead the people to victory. Well, now God has chosen Saul and he has come powerfully upon him. And he burned with indignant righteousness. It's not, people say just anger, but it was a righteous anger. Because he was going, our people, they shouldn't be facing something like this. Somebody should go help them. And so what did he do? Well, all of a sudden, ding, this guy coming off the fields. And he's the guy, don't forget, he's the donkey hunter. He's the baggage hider. Yeah. And now he's coming off the field as a farmer. And all of a sudden, bing, he has a plan. He has wisdom, and he has the courage to make it happen. Where did that come from? Well, don't forget, the power of the Spirit of God came upon him. See, he through those things before in chapter 10, that Samuel said these things will happen, and he was in each thing that he said, these three different things, these signs or authentications were given him, and they happen as they said, and they were teaching him about God's provision and that he is able and that God will enable him. And here it comes right here. And so what does he do? Well, he goes back to those days of that woman who got cut apart. He says, well, that sounds good, but I'm not going to cut apart a woman, but I'm going to cut apart an oxen, one of my own, and I'm going to send it out. And whoever does not come to this place. Well, I'm going to do that to your oxen too. And he even adds Samuel's name to it to make, you know, have even more force behind this command, right? And what happened? Well, again, the Lord went before him, right? The terror of the Lord fell on the people, and they came together as one. They came together as one. That's hard to do. Have you ever tried that? Get your family together? You know, you're making all these calls, making all these plans and stuff like that. And, but I got a job. I can't make it. Or I'm sick. I can't make it. And you're just trying to get your family together or something. But how about a whole nation, 12 tribes spread out over a big area, bringing them together as one? Well, God sent His Holy Spirit, and He sent terror into the hearts of the people to where they did get together as one. And that's a powerful thing. And you go back to the words of first statement I want to kind of mention here. What people of Jabesh said to Nahash there back in verse 3. They said, if no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you. See, that's the state of mind they were in. They're just looking for any type of help, any type of miracle, something like that. They didn't know what's going on. They're just really desperate, in a desperate situation. And it did not look good. See, these people of Jabesh, as well as the other Israelites, they forgot something. They forgot something called the Ebenezer Stone that just happened maybe 20 years beforehand, where there's a great victory led by Samuel over the Philistines. A great victory, and he set up that stone, which meant, you know, Ebenezer means what, thus far the Lord has helped us. They forgot all that. They forgot all those judges before, where God would send mighty men to help them, to save them out of the most desperate situations. And going back to the days of Moses. See, one of the symptoms, we always look at symptoms these days, you know, you're coughing, what do you got there? What kind of cold or COVID, whatever you got there? You know, you're always going, you're getting tested and stuff like that. Well, one of the signs of a hard heart is forgetfulness. When we start forgetting who God is and all He's done for us, you got a condition called a hard heart going on there. Your heart is rejecting or blocking God through unbelief or just indifference. Another thing we see here, not just forgetfulness, but we also see a lack of understanding. And that's another symptom of a hard heart, somebody who's not seeking to know the Lord more, to come close to Him, to surrender to Him, to give their lives to Him, to worship Him, to pray to Him, to walk with Him. See, when you don't understand God, you're not going to form a relationship with Him. You're not going to walk with Him. You might call upon His name when you get in trouble, but you don't have a real relationship. See, that's another symptom of a hard heart that we have, because we're just going, you don't mean anything to me, only when I want to call you. Remember shrinking God down into that mold, that little idol? We all do that. Hard hearts. Hard hearts. And the people weeping. Bad situation. But here enters the hero. Saul hears these things. And the Holy Spirit comes and empowers him. And now he sets forth. God has given him something to do. He helped him with the plan. He gave him wisdom. He gave him courage. to call these people out. Remembering these words that will be spoken in the future from this time from a prophet called Zechariah. He's speaking to a guy named Zerubbabel. And he says this, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And now we see something moving here. Saul goes forth. People are united. The Lord's going before them. He divides his army. He kind of remembers those days of Gideon, what he did. Gideon divided his army too. You know, God gave him that type of wisdom. So he did the same thing. And he attacked in the dark, which makes it even harder for those they can't see you coming. And that's what Gideon did. So he used those plans. And the victory was his. They slaughtered him, it says. They slaughtered these guys. But before all this happened, there was another statement. See, when they all gathered together and the people of Jabesh, they wanted to take a message back to their people. You know, what are we going to tell them? And Saul says this, by the time the sun is hot tomorrow, you will be rescued. Your deliverance is coming. There's a certainty about that. See, Saul's heart is starting to be changed from someone who was just a donkey hunter and a farmer to now he actually is experiencing God and God is moving in his life and now he has this relationship and he can be courageous and he can be sure that that help is going to come. There's going to be deliverance. And maybe the people might be saying, you're going to deliver us, but we're going to see in a little bit. That's not so. See, the question still hangs up there. How can this fellow help us? He's just a human being. He was just out in the fields with an oxen. He's the guy that was hiding in the baggage area. He didn't even want to be known as king. He didn't even want to be king. He doesn't know anything much about the Lord. He didn't know Samuel. And this kind of time brings me right back to what we've been studying in Exodus. And we were just went over that in chapter 14, and where Moses and the Israelites were there right on the edge of the sea, and here comes the Egyptian army coming right at them with all their chariots and horses and all that, and they're in big trouble. Big, desperate trouble. We're done for. And the people were complaining, what do you want? Just die. There wasn't enough room for us to die over there to set our graves in there, but you want us to die out in the desert? And God spoke through Moses these words to the people. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. And when you say need only be still, that's just a trusting factor. That's where you're walking with God and you know he's got this. Because I know the Lord, because I've seen him in action, and he is faithful to every promise and everything he does. So I can trust him. And I can walk with him. And I can go through these valleys, and I can go through the most difficult times of my life, and I know that the Lord has this. I can go to the most dangerous places on this earth, go to the Middle East at this time, as God has sent me, and be perfectly safe in the palm of his hand as he keeps me. I can go through any illness, cancer, anything else, because I know the Lord has got me in his hand. see, first of all, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Stand firm in your faith and this awesome creator, God of the universe, the one that's so big nobody can describe him. And look, use your eyes. See. See the deliverance of the Lord today. And you know why? Because he's going to go before you. He's going to fight for you. Can you believe that? You know that your God's going to go and fight for you? He's fought for me. He's fought for every one of you. Every one of you who is a believer in Jesus Christ, who has received him into your hearts as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a blood-bought sheep and a lamb. He fought for you. He defeated the enemy on a cross. He conquered death for us. That's the Lord going before you and fighting for you. So what do you have to fear? All you have to do is stand still and know that he is God. And watch his deliverance. And that's what Moses and the Israelites saw. And that's just what these Israelites saw in conquering the Ammonites. And then at the end of this, you know, there's some of these scoundrels that, you know, at the end of 10 days say, whoa, you know, how can this fellow save us? And these other guys said, hey, get those scoundrels out there downing, down talking this our king. Well, let's go kill them. Right? And Saul had every right to say, yeah, let's put some more blood on the ground. But no, Saul knows. At this time, he really knows. See, Saul said this in verse 13, it says, no one will be put to death today. And now he's going to turn it around to this last statement that's so powerful here. It says this, for this day the Lord has rescued Israel. He has delivered us. And you want to put more blood on the ground? No, this is not a time of violence and revenge. It's a time of pointing people to the Lord. Get your eyes off of me and get it back on the Lord, who is the true king and where the deliverance of all of you have come from. That's what he's saying. And then Samuel, you see what Samuel does? He goes, oh, what a good opportunity. He goes, oh, yeah. Woo. All right, guys, let's come. Let's go. We're going to go get Gal, and we're going to renew the kingship. Oh, yeah, let's go renew king. Saul is our king. Woo, woo, woo. See, again, Samuel's not on that line. He's not on that plane. He's not relying upon man. Because he knows we're going to lay down. Our plans are going to come to nothing after a while. He knows we're fallible. He's not renewing the kingship of Saul. But if you look at it a little bit closer, he's renewing the kingship of the true king. The one who delivered them. Because if you look at this, it says, so all the people went to Gilgal. And this was a special place where Joshua actually they when they crossed the Jordan and then they were going to attack Jericho. This is where they stayed, and Joshua met the angel of the Lord, and he gave them the plan. And so Gilgal is kind of a special place to these people, and they're going to made Saul king in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. They're not just making him king, but now they're in the presence of the Lord, and they acknowledge that. And listen to this. There they sacrifice fellowship offerings before the Lord. And Saul and all the Israelites held a great celebration. What is this fellowship offering? I had to look that up because I was going, well, what is this about? Well, what this is about really is it's an expression of thanksgiving that the relationship between God and man, so their relationship between God and themselves has been healed. There's a healing there. they made themselves right. They didn't make themselves right. God made them right with them. So they are now the healed, the fellowship, the relationship is now restored and healed. And now they can walk with God. Now, all this is now, you know, they have this human person here being what they say a king, but now they're have a true relationship with God once again, a renewed one, to where he is king. And this king here is just his representative. And they go back to Deuteronomy 17, and he follows those rules of being and meditating on the Lord's word and following it, obeying it. See, that's what's going on there. And, you know, the weeping, the weeping. Do you see that? Remember the weeping? The people weeping desperately. They don't know where to go. They're going to lose. And now it's turned to what? Rejoicing. Yeah, you can still have tears in your eyes out of rejoicing, but there's a rejoicing going on. There's a whole turnaround. There it comes. There's that help comes from nowhere. And boom, they're saved out of a desperate, no-win situation. And so the question for us today is this. Have you renewed kingship in your life, in your heart? Because I know there's a battle going on in your hearts. Because it goes on in my heart. And you're no different than I am. Oh, can I trust the Lord today? Is he really faithful to his promises? Oh, can he help me in this situation, find a job, or help me through this situation of this sickness or joblessness or just trying to get through school? Can he help me through school? Can he help me through 11th grade? 12th grade? 1st grade? 5th grade? See, these are things, we have battles within us. The battles in us. And we need to renew the kingship. If we are starting to disbelieve, if we are rejecting his help, if we are forgetting his word, forgetting what he has already done for us, for me, if I'm not understanding God and seeking him and opening his word to read and to pray and to listen to him and to speak to him and to have a true relationship and walk with him day after day and moment after moment, I got to renew the kingship. I got to get that fellowship offering out. See, the fellowship offering is Christ Jesus. Did you know that? That's the true fellowship. All those offerings are just representatives of what Christ is going to do for us. See, Jesus, when he came, went on the cross and died for us, he took all of our sin away from us on himself. He took it on himself. And through that, the relationship between the Father and his creation, that is us, his people, has been healed in the name of Jesus Christ through the blood of his Son. There's deliverance there. Can you see it? Because I know I've been delivered. I was living a life of meaninglessness, pridefulness, selfishness, filled with bitterness and hate. Angry at times, a lot of times. He delivered me. He delivered me, not because of me, by his grace, an amazing miracle. You are a miracle. You are a miracle. If you don't think you're a miracle, you are. Let me just put it straight to you. What just happened to you, if you're a follower of Christ, you're a miracle. And now you need to step forward in remembrance. And we do that week, monthly, right? But there's more of it. Remember him throughout the day, right? Remember him. We're called to remember him and all he has done for us and all he will do for us, all that he is doing for us. And we are to have that understanding and growing as we get into the Word, as we fellowship together and listen and discuss His Word, as we pray together. And then we are to have this wonderful fellowship offering through Christ. Father, forgive me in the name of Jesus Christ. That's where the forgiveness comes from. The forgiveness, the deliverance comes in the name of Jesus Christ alone. If you think you can get it somewhere else, go ahead and try. But when we come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day, you'll find out it was not it. There's only one way. It's for everybody, every tribe, people, language, nation. It's all offered freely in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember that Psalm 146 talking about man just not cutting it? Don't trust in him? Well, listen to this. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Why? Because there's deliverance. There's a faithful deliverer who is right there waiting for us to finally open our hearts, to surrender ourselves. Remember that? Bow down, hold up your sword of rebellion to him and just say, take it from me. Take it from me. I'm your servant now. So, your king is coming. He's coming. The true king is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? This is the time to get ready. There's no reason to wait to tomorrow or a little bit later on. No, this is the time to get real before the King of Kings and say, I need to renew a relationship with you, or I need to start a real one with you. Some of us just need to start a real one. Some of us need to renew it because there's a battle going on. So I'm going to say right now, I'm going to give you just a 1 minute of quiet. And if you need to do that, you could do that right now. You can pray the prayer, just receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or just asking for forgiveness as a believer already and just having your really that fellowship offering to Him right now to heal the relationship. And if you want to pray with somebody next to you, pray. Pray quietly by yourself. Pray. But let's take 1 minute of silence before we close off here. Amen. That's 1 minute. Sound like it felt like an eternity, didn't it? It's a good thing to practice, isn't it? Well, the Lord bless you in His Word. Yeah, so let's pray before we continue on. Father God, again, thank you for your Word. Thank you for reminders. Thank you for this example that continues to teach us, and it teaches us aright today about the importance of remembering you, of walking closer to you, to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are, and also to have that wonderful fellowship with you, to offer the offering of our hearts, our minds, our lives to you, Lord, to renew that relationship, to heal it, Lord. So thank you for this time together. We just give you the glory and praise for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and all these people say, Amen. Amen.